Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I'm reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, October 31st. Mayor's Inland Port Deal is dead. Mayor Javier Hoven's dreams of an inland port in Odessa were dashed Wednesday, at least they were if Permian Basin Inland Port is involved. The Odessa Development Corporation voted unanimously Wednesday to terminate negotiations to purchase property at 3215 West Murphy Street that was to be developed as an inland port operated by Permian Basin Inland Port. The ODC scheduled a special meeting for October 21st to approve a deal to purchase the land for nearly $8.3 million, and city officials were so convinced the deal was going to go through. The city council put it on their October 22nd agenda to sign off on it. However, the ODC tabled their vote after members Melanie Hallman and David Boughton expressed a desire to have a new environmental study conducted and requested a new appraisal for the land, which is in receivership. Boughton was not at the meeting but had emailed his position prior to the meeting. The environmental study would have taken as much as 6 months, and yet the deal only gave the city 14 days to inspect the property. The ODC at that point was hoping Permian Basin Inland Port would extend the feasibility period in order to have the study and appraisals done and to negotiate the land lease, loan agreement, and some other things. But an October 22nd email obtained by the Odessa American under the Texas Public Information Act shows Tom Mansky, Director of Economic Development for the Odessa Chamber of Commerce, indicated he'd already been told the deal was dead and yet was working feverishly to try to rescue it. Mansky emailed Taylor Rich, president of SiteLogX, a company that was working with Permian Basin Inland Port, to put together the deal, outlining the ODC board's hope for an extension on the feasibility period. He noted that Rich told him on October 21st he'd not be able to speak with the receiver and that he'd refused to give him the contact information for the realtor. I guess I did not explain well enough that the ODC has certain state and local laws they have to abide by and cannot just jump into any agreement without proper due diligence. I realize as a government entity, some of these items can be time-consuming, Mansky wrote. He then went on to remind Rich that Rich had told him the deal was dead. If for some reason that situation changes and the receiver and or realtor want to open a direct dialogue with me, please let me know, Mansky wrote. If another suitable site might enter into the equation, perhaps we can visit that opportunity. On Wednesday, the ODC spent about an hour in executive session during another specially scheduled meeting before coming out and voting to terminate any future work on what was called Project Logical. Board Chairman James Kirk said they've been in the process of due diligence for several months and they kept getting conflicting information from the parties involved, and we will not be able to move forward with this project at this point, Kirk said. Boughton said he believed the receiver involved in the project has already moved on. I think that's in large part because our efforts as a board in order to make a good, prudent decision by moving methodically and prudently on behalf of the taxpayers through this thing has taken some time and the conflicting information has not been resolved, and therefore this is where we are, Boughton said. Belton said he isn't happy about the situation because they've worked so hard on it, but he was in favor of terminating negotiations and made the motion. Hallman seconded the motion. I agree. I am not happy that the deal isn't going to happen because I do think that an inland port could be valuable to the city of Odessa. I hope that there are other opportunities to pursue a similar project, but with different parties involved, it's important that we prioritize working with parties that we can rely on and whose information we can be competent in, she said. The deal has been a couple of years in the making. In July 2022, Hovind spent a couple of days south of New Orleans visiting with people at the Plaque Mines Port Harbor and Terminal District and businessmen who hoped to one day create a direct transportation line between the port and Odessa. Hovind said at the time two of the principals had ties to Odessa and they were in talks about building a rail facility and connecting up with existing Union Pacific railways. The principals like that Odessa is already familiar with oil, gas, and chemicals, Hovind said. On March 28, 2023, council members heard a presentation from Taylor Rich. Rich and one of his clients, Roger King from Pipeline Innovation, spoke about the lack of rail service in the Permian Basin and the need for an inland port. King said smaller companies have a demand for rail service and an inland port would be an opportunity to level the playing field for smaller companies. On June 13th, the ODC signed a memorandum of understanding with Permian Basin Inland Port to assist and provide support for the development of the port. Texas Secretary of State records show a Roger King is the registered agent for Permian Basin Inland Port, and campaign finance records show a Roger King donated $1,500 to Hovind's re-election campaign. Hovind is facing Odessa attorney Cal Hendrick in the mayor's race. Prior to going into executive session Wednesday and before the ODC voted, Republican precinct chair Ronnie Lewis and former ODC president Chris Crow asked the board to table the discussion on the project, but for different reasons. Lewis said he wanted to postpone discussions on it so people could determine if other members of the city council were going to benefit from it. So what I'm getting a lot of feedback from, a lot of Odessa says, we'd like to see this table take a breath and kind of slow things down because we know that the mayor's been chasing this, Lewis said. We know that the mayor benefits and we don't know if anybody else has been benefiting. So that's just what I'm saying. I'm speaking for a lot of voters, and I hope you all realize that. You know, a lot of voters reach out to me. Lewis's claim of representing a lot of voters caused ODC member Larry Robinson to ask what puts Lewis in a position to get feedback, and the pair spent the next couple of minutes going back and forth about the March primary, when Lewis and a whole slate of others defeated several longtime precinct chairs. After being told they'd deviated from the agenda, Lewis said, okay, these voters want this thing tabled. What city manager John Beckmeyer and Hovind did was improper. What Roger King did was improper. We need to slow this down and figure out what's going on because most likely there's going to be a new mayor here pretty quick. Robinson shot back, we can figure it out. Crow said the proposed contract has changed substantially from when discussions first began. He questioned the proposed sale amount and he said the ODC Compliance Committee needed to take a look at the deal, which is not done to this point. When everything comes in, I have full faith you guys all will make the right decision, but I was kind of questioning why we're having an emergency meeting when you guys are going to be meeting again here in the next 2 weeks. Anyway, to kind of shove in this, Crow said. Crow too thinks said he thinks an inland port is a great idea that will lead to more economic development and more jobs if it's structured properly. Midland College Veterans Day celebration to feature decorated veteran Dr. Jeff Strucker. Midland College, in conjunction with Mill2Civ and Permian Basin Partnership, will honor veterans with a special Veterans Day celebration at noon November 9th. The event will take place on the MC campus, and the community is invited to join in recognizing the sacrifices and service of our nation's veterans. This year's featured speaker will be Dr. Jeff Strucker, a distinguished military veteran and motivational leader. Strucker's storied career began when he enlisted in the United States Army as an infantryman at just 18 years old. Over the course of 22 years of active service, he rose through the ranks, serving in the elite 75th Ranger Regiment for a decade, where he held positions from private to platoon sergeant. In 1996, he showcased his exceptional skills by winning the prestigious David L. Grange Best Ranger competition. Having U.S. Army Ranger Hall of Famer Dr. Jeff Strucker as our guest speaker for this year's Veterans Day ceremony is truly an honor, MC Director of Veteran Services Daniel Ortega said in a news release. Dr. Strucker's extraordinary service and leadership are a testament to the courage and dedication of all our veterans. His insights and experiences will undoubtedly inspire and remind us of the sacrifices made by those who have served our nation. In addition to his accomplishments in the field, Dr. Strucker taught ROTC at the University of Louisville, earning the title of U.S. Army ROTC Non-Commissioned Officer of the Year in 1998. He spent his final decade in the Army serving as a chaplain, supporting airborne and ranger units. His exemplary service culminated in his induction into the U.S. Army Ranger Hall of Fame in 2017. Throughout his career, Strucker earned numerous awards and commendations, including the Ranger Tab, Combat Infantryman's Badge, Pathfinder Badge, Master Parachutist Wings, Military Freefall Master Parachutist Wings, and several Foreign Jump Wings. He also received multiple medals for valor in combat, with his combat experience spanning the invasion of Panama, Operation Desert Storm, the Black Hawk Down mission in Somalia, and more than a dozen tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. The Veterans Day celebration will feature a 1-mile fun run, a 5K walk run, a traditional veterans ceremony, a cake cutting, and a resource and job fair for veterans across the Permian Basin. Pet adoption events coming up. Grand Companions has scheduled pet adoption events in Midland. On Saturday, November 2nd, Grand Companions is going to be out in the community with some adoptable animals from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Aldridge Gardens, 3300 North Fairgrounds Road, Midland. Come visit some adoptable pets at this month's market at the gardens. Aldridge has welcomed over 25 vendors, including Grand Companions, representing small business owners in the Permian Basin, into their breezeway for a day full of shopping, food, fun, and friends. From 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Sunday, November 3rd, come visit Grand Companions at PetSmart, 4206 Loop 250 Frontage Road, Midland. Add a furry friend to your family or just come out to pet some cute pups. On Thursday, November 7th, Hike with a Homeless Pet is a way to give adoptable dogs an opportunity to stretch their legs from 9 to 10 a.m. at Sibley Nature Center, 1307 East Wadley Avenue, Midland. This is a wonderful opportunity to meet people, explore nature, and help a homeless pet. For 35 years, Grand Companions has been a beacon of hope for homeless pets across West Texas. Their mission is to save, shelter, and honor pets as they find their way to loving homes. With locations in both Fort Davis and Midland, Grand Companions has helped countless adopters find the perfect pet and is proud to be a resource in the communities they serve. Latino USA host calls for unity. With a message of unity through diversity, journalist Maria Hinojosa spoke at the Odessa College Honors Luncheon at the Odessa Marriott Hotel and Conference Center Tuesday. OC Honors celebrates outstanding individuals and organizations who have contributed to improving education in the Permian Basin. Mary Kay Hamilton, who co-anchors the news with Jay Hendricks on First Alert 7, was the MC. The occasion included awards presented by Jay Hendricks for Outstanding Individual, John Wilkins, Outstanding Educator, JSA Architects, Outstanding Business, Crisis Center of West Texas, Outstanding Nonprofit, and Laurie Johnson, Community Impact Award. In 2010, Hinojosa founded Futuro Media, an independent nonprofit newsroom based in Harlem, New York City, with a mission to create multimedia content from a POC, People of Color, perspective. She has informed millions about the changing cultural and political landscape in America and abroad as the anchor and executive producer of the Peabody Award-winning show Latino USA, co-host of Futuro Media's award-winning political podcast In the Thick, and most recently, her Pulitzer Prize-winning podcast Suave. Hinojosa has won 4 Emmys, the John Chancellor Award, 2 Robert F. Kennedy Awards, the Overseas Press Club Edward R. Murrah Award, and the Murrah Lifetime Achievement Award. Born in Mexico City, Hinojosa grew up in the south side of Chicago and has been in New York City for many years. She is the author of 4 books, Cruz, Raising Raul, Once I Was You, a memoir of love and hate in torn America, and the young reader's version of her memoir, Once I Was You. Hinojosa is the distinguished journalist in residence at her alma mater, Barnard College. These days, her focus is deep accountability investigative journalism. You can't separate the moment we are in. We're just days away from an election, from speaking at a community college where a majority of the population is Latino and Latina. It's a moment when this population, which is celebrated and given an opportunity at a place like Odessa College, cannot at the same time be being torn down by hatred and charges that we are criminals as immigrants. I came to just say that hope, the hope of your college are these students. Many of them have immigrant roots. So the best thing to do is to tell the truth about who we are. We are not criminals. We're community college students right here at Odessa College, Hinojosa said in an interview after her remarks. Hinojosa told attendees that the reality of the U.S. is that immigrants have always been coming and we're not going anywhere. All of the data says that we bring more to this country, certainly, than we take. Even the Texas GAO comptroller has said economically the state of Texas benefits overwhelmingly by the presence of immigrants, whether documented or undocumented. So the message is, we are everywhere, we are you, Hinojosa said. Specifically at a community college, why do you want to create a sense that these students who are descendants of immigrants or immigrants themselves or a fifth-generation immigrant feels negatively about themselves because of what politicians say? No, I think that's why the message has to be Odessa College has to be the leader of how we resolve this conversation and create the unity, she added. Hinojosa said she thinks OC is a welcoming place and she has a newfound admiration for the city. No one is going to be able to speak badly about Odessa, Texas in front of me. Not that they have, but what I have seen, the commitment to bringing this community into Odessa College is real. I know that this place is a welcoming place and space, and so that's why I'm like, I can be the model for the rest of West Texas, she said. Videos of the honorees and their accomplishments were shown before they received their awards. The one for Hendrix, who has been in television in Odessa and Midland for 46 years, didn't work. Wilkins has a Bachelor of Commerce degree from Rice University and a Master's in Education from West Texas State University, now West Texas A&M. He began his teaching career in Cameron. He spent the next 5 years teaching and coaching in Littlefield and Amarillo. He came to Permian High School in the spring of 1971 and was named the Permian Panthers head football coach in 1973. He stayed at Permian through the fall of 1985, compiling a record 148-16-6. He won two state championships. Wilkins also served as athletic director and head football coach at Trinity School in Midland for 4 years. He also served numerous years on the Odessa College Education Foundation, acting as president his final year on the board. Wilkins and his wife, Yali, have a combined 73 years in public education through their teaching, coaching, and administrative careers. They both continue to be active supporters of the ECISD Education Foundation's Bookworm Project. Wilkins said he has received some very big honors, but the OC recognition ranks right up there. It seems like every turn that I've taken in life has involved education. I am proud to be part of this. OC has done a great job, he said. Cruz Castillo, president of JSA Architects, said he was very humbled by the award. We try to do our best in everything that we do, from designing buildings to managing construction projects to participating in a variety of partnerships within our community. We want everyone to win. If we're doing well, we can help someone else do well. That means more people are going to benefit from it. We recognize that it's an honor, but even without the recognition, we come to work with energy every day trying to make a difference and impact everybody in our community. Today's just to highlight that we're recognized for it, Castillo said in the video. Lori Johnson and her husband Gary, a longtime OC Board of Trustees member, could not attend the event. Odessa Chamber of Commerce President and CEO Renee Earls accepted her award. In her video, Lori Johnson said the award is about the community. I just happen to be a name that's being recognized, but I can't thank everyone enough, Johnson said. She thanked everyone for attending and hoped that everyone leaves with a sense of what the community is really all about. Celebrate Dia de los Muertos at November's First Friday ODTX. Celebrate Dia de los Muertos and Diwali at November's First Friday ODTX across various locations in Odessa from 6 to 9 p.m. Friday, November 1st. This month will showcase a pop-up Dia de los Muertos art gallery at Homemade Wines, Viva La Fuego, collaborative sculptural altar and community altar presented by artists from Odessa College and UTPB at Odessa Marriott, typewriter poems from with Candace at Starbucks downtown, Joanne's on 5th Flowers, Dia de los Muertos flower crowns. Explore four unique vendor markets. Enjoy Sugar Skull face painting at McJack's General Store and make it a memorable night out with family and friends. Creatives of West Texas Dia de los Muertos pop-up art gallery at Homemade Wines, Immerse yourself in the vibrant spirits of creative of West Texas Dia de los Muertos pop-up art gallery hosted at Homemade Wines. This special exhibit will showcase unique, one-of-a-kind pieces created by talented local artists, each reflecting the beauty and tradition of this celebrated holiday. As you explore the gallery, indulge in the delicious selections of handcrafted wines from Homemade Wines, making this a perfect blend of flower and art. Odessa Art Booths at Homemade Wines. Spend $20 or more at local shop, restaurant, or vendor during the event hours, and show your receipt at the Odessa Arts and Downtown Odessa booth at the Ector Theater to receive a free First Friday ODTX t-shirt. Fill out a survey to receive a free deck of Basin 52 cards. Member Drive. Join the vibrant arts community by becoming a member of Odessa Arts for the 2024-2025 season. As part of the membership drive, anyone who signs up during First Friday ODTX will receive an exclusive clear tote bag, perfect for showing off your support for the arts. Viva La Fuego at Odessa Marriott's Event Garden. Discover Viva La Fuego, a collaborative sculptural altar and community altar presented by artists from Odessa College and UTPB. This vibrant Dia de los Muertos installation honors tradition with stunning artistry. After exploring the altars, enjoy specialty cocktails at White Buffalo, adding the perfect touch to your First Friday ODTX experience. Vendor Markets, 4th and Jackson. A bustling vendor market featuring a variety of local vendors featuring Three Pearls Specialty Treats, OU812 Custom Cakes and Cupcakes, General Villa Jerky, Pucker Up Lemonades, Muda's, Sam's Club, Clamato's Los Gachos, Sunny Skulls, Daisy's Kitchen, Skull and Crossbones Mobile Brew, Love One Another Soaps, Be Sweet Beauty, House, Bathhouse Apothecary, Arcane Jewelry, Anna James Brewing Company, Sweet Traveler, Pastore, West Texas Candy, and more. Copper Rose Market, 415 North Grant Avenue. Local vendor market with more than 15 vendors offering unique goods. Sacrificial Needle, 1500 North Grant Avenue. Local vendor market, live art demonstrations, and specialties on tattoos and piercings. The Downtown Venue, 515 North Grant Avenue. Two Purple Llamas Market will host a vendor market featuring 10-plus local businesses. Participating businesses, Copper Rose Building, 415 North Grant Avenue, The Craft Show, choose from over 100 cups wrapped and more than 10 different cups to choose from, cost to participate. Copper Key Gifts, 501 North Grant Avenue, open for extended hours. Ector County Library, 321 West 5th Street. Visit the library from 3:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. for big annual brown bag sale of books, DVDs, records, and more. Flair Taverna, 2701 John Ben Shepherd Parkway. Live music from John Sprott Blues Band. Good Life Nutrition, 3171 East University Boulevard, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Buy one smoothie bowl, get the second one half off. Mention the First Friday ODTX special offer to receive the discount. Homemade Wines, 400 North Texas Avenue. Explore the rich culture and vibrant spirit of creatives of West Texas's Dia de los Muertos pop-up art gallery hosted at Homemade Wines. Joanne's on 5th Flowers, 610 West 5th Street. Create a Dia de los Muertos flower crown. Cost to participate. M. Elemental Therapeutics, 419 North Jackson Avenue. Free 5-minute massages and free sample of pumpkin and vanilla salt scrubs. Odessa Marriott, 305 East 5th Street. Viva La Fuego specialty cocktails at the White Buffalo, McJack General Store, 411 North Grant Avenue, Day of the Dead Sugar Skull Face Painting, Odessa Arts at Homemade Wines, membership table with exciting giveaways. Spend $20 or more at a local business to receive a First Friday t-shirt, fill out an arts and culture economic survey for a free deck of Basin 52 cards. Pick up free First Friday ODTX coloring sheets designed by local artist Sarah Scrawl. Odessa College Green Space, corner of East 4th Street and North Jackson Avenue, DJ Pumpkin Painting, giveaways to first 100 people, Midland Festival Ballet Performance. Patrick Clay's Tavern, 418 North Grant, food and drink specials and $30 tattoos at Evil Ink Tattoos. Scooter's Coffee, 801 North Grant Avenue, half off any drink with a coupon. Coupon will be posted on Odessa Arts Facebook page on November 1st. Skalicky Ballet, 118 East 8th Street, free 30-minute ballet class from 6 to 6:30 p.m. Starbucks Downtown, 305 East 5th Street, free typewriter poetry. Obituaries. Teresa Gail Froelich, a beacon of love and selflessness, passed away on October 26th in Andrews. Born on August 25th, 1951 in Gorman, Texas, to John Paul and Benny Sue Sharp, Teresa's life was a testament to the power of family, love, and resilience. A visitation will be held on Wednesday, October 30th from 5 to 8 p.m. at McNett Funeral Home in Andrews. A memorial service for Teresa will be held Saturday, November 2nd at 1 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Andrews. Arrangements are entrusted to the personal care of McNett Funeral Home. Donald Edward Morgan. Donald Edward Morgan, 77, of Odessa, died Thursday, October 24th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. November 2nd at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Reverend Dr. Jimmy Braswell is officiating. Deborah Ann Haldeman Reedy. Services will be scheduled at a later date. Deborah Ann Reedy Haldeman, 63, of Odessa, died Monday, October 21st in Odessa. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Mom of drowned twins arrested on felony drug charge. The mother of twin baby girls who died October 16th was arrested Tuesday after investigators found cocaine in her home and she admitted to being a drug dealer. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Charlotte Harris's twin one-year-old girls, Hazel and Charlotte, drowned after being left in a bathtub with running water by a babysitter who said she fell asleep while watching TV. When executing a search warrant on Harris's Humble Avenue home later that day, they found three scales with white residue in Harris's bathroom cabinet, multiple empty baggies, and 33.8 grams of cocaine, the report stated. After being read her rights, Harris admitted to being a drug dealer, the report stated. She was booked into the Ector County Jail Tuesday night on suspicion of manufacture delivery of a controlled substance, a first-degree felony. She was released Wednesday after posting a $50,000 surety bond. Joan Reyes de Jesus, the twins' babysitter, was arrested on two counts of injury to a child. She remains in the jail on surety bonds totaling $1 million.
Odessa High School Juniors, Branner, Markeem, Daniel Carlos, Richie Valderez, and Savon Juarez are taking the first steps toward advancing their future STEM careers by participating in NASA's Texas High School Aerospace Scholars Program. The opportunity was organized by instructional facilitator Sonny Alanas. Now in his second year of education, Alanas, currently studying at Odessa College, plans to pursue a degree in nuclear engineering with the goal of becoming a research and development engineer at Los Alamos National Laboratory. He teaches engineering and robotics. The NASA program has already begun online. According to the NASA website, Texas High School Aerospace Scholars is an authentic STEM learning experience for Texas high school juniors to engage with NASA's missions and become the next generation of explorers. HAS is a year-long commitment for Texas high school juniors, which starts in the fall with a five-month online learning experience related to space exploration, earth science, technology, and aeronautics. The highest-achieving students will receive an invitation to a five-day virtual summer experience, Moonshot, mentored by NASA scientists and engineers. The top-performing teams from Moonshot will be invited to an all-expense-paid residential experience to NASA's Johnson Space Center. Alanas said there were seven or eight students who completed applications from OHS. He added that they are going to reapply at the end of November or early December because he wants students to have a chance at summer internships. All of the students were interested in STEM, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and math. Alanas said the first part of the course is the five-month online class where they focus on individual training and skill development. The students are on different teams, but Alanza will be helping them in class. The second part is a one-week virtual tour and experience with the groups where they will be competing with each other to create projects and see if they could be potentially used for the Artemis program, a moon exploration program. In the third part, if their team is successful, they will be taken on an in-person tour with some of the NASA scientists and engineers that they were being monitored by during the program. The students need a 3.0 GPA at minimum, but these students are really exceptional, and they go above and beyond. Even if they don't have the highest GPA, NASA likes to look for students who are looking for opportunity and well-driven in extracurricular activities. UTPB to host Dia de los Muertos Festival. The Dia de los Muertos Festival is returning to University of Texas Permian Basin November the 3rd at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. Director of Orchestras Jean Gomez said the show is 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. with the closing show at 7:30 p.m. The event will start in the lobby, and like last year, they will have food trucks and live music all related to Dia de los Muertos. The closing show involves the Mariachi Orchestra and Ballet Folklorico. Gomez said there are probably about 100 students involved because it's not just the performance itself, but everything going on around it. We will have other departments from the university joining and a lot of participation from the company, local businesses, people helping with decorations, music. We will even have guest musicians. We will have school mariachis from middle schools and high schools come in and perform. They had around 600 people attend last year. It's not just people coming to the closing show, but also during the day with all those vendors. One of the biggest highlights of the festival is the altar. We have an altar. This is a guy that comes all the way from New Mexico to build it and decorate the stage. A lot of people just love that experience because it's kind of an interactive altar. They are able to submit their photos from people whose loved ones have passed away, and they are going to be shown on the screen, Gomez said. This will be the third edition of Dia de los Muertos. Last year, they organized Las Posadas, a celebration of the Christmas story. Dia de los Muertos celebrates the lives of those who have died. At the altar, people can offer things that people who have passed away liked. It's a day full of joy instead of actual sadness. It is celebration of, as I say, of life, of remembering those people in a happy and uplifting way, Gomez said. Odessa City Council spends $4 million on filling jobs. During a quick special meeting Tuesday afternoon, the Odessa City Council unanimously voted to spend just over $4 million, filling more than 50 positions throughout the city. The city council slashed several positions during its budget process with an eye toward only filling positions once department heads established a need for them. On Tuesday, Finance Director Kaylee Banda said there are numerous positions that need to be filled in the following departments: Animal Control, Odessa Police Department, Odessa Fire Rescue, Engineering, and Streets. Although the council approved the funding of several positions during a recent regular meeting, Banda said some of the positions she was advocating for this week got caught up in the workflow. During that meeting, council members voted unanimously to fund 5 fire inspector positions, a building services maintenance tech, a solid waste worker, 2 solid waste drivers, an equipment services parts tech, and an equipment services tire tech, for a total cost of $761,000. Early voting wraps up on Friday. Odessa voters have until Friday to early vote in Ector County in the heated presidential election pitching Democrat Vice President Kamala Harris against former President Donald Trump. As of 7 p.m. Monday night, 16,563 people had cast a ballot in Ector County. Ector County Judge Dustin Fawcett on Tuesday said for the most part the voting process here has been mostly smooth. Fawcett is part of a group chat with the other county judges in Texas and said while there have been minor issues here, it's nothing like what others have reported across the country. Local elections have been intense, but it's been smooth, he said. One thing I'm kicking myself about is only having 4 machines at UTPB for early voting. Some have reported a long wait time at UTPB, but Fawcett said the county is in a pretty good place for early voting, and he anticipates by end of day Friday, about 25,000 will have cast an early ballot in Ector County. He said about 40,000 total voted 4 years ago in the presidential race during early voting and on election day, and he hopes to be above that this election cycle. He said the county election office has been hitting it out of the park during early voting, and he feels the election office is ready for election day. A number of local races are also on the ballot. Eddie Mitchell will challenge current District 1 city council person Mark Matta in November's election. Meals on Wheels Executive Director Craig Stoker is challenging incumbent Denise Swanner for the Odessa City Council at-large seat. Odessa Attorney Cal Hendrick is challenging Mayor Javier Hoven. District 2 will feature incumbent Steve Thompson against Nayli Urias. The races are nonpartisan and are for 4-year terms. Voters in Ector County will also decide the fate of a $355 million bond election for Odessa College, which would raise property taxes. If approved, funds would be used for a new sports center, career and technical education building, repurposing the Jack Rogers Fine Arts Center as a child care center, infrastructure, and for the downtown campus. Shem Culpepper, president and CEO of First Basin Credit Union, led a committee made up of community members to look at OC needs. Culpepper said on a $334,000 home, it would be about $30 per month or $360 a year more in property taxes over what homeowners are already paying. If you want to know more about this, visit ocvision2030.com/bondprojects. Also on this year's ballot is Ector County Hospital District Election Proposition A. The prop, in a nutshell, is the first step in allowing the hospital district the ability to raise their tax rate not to exceed 75 cents per $100 in valuation, to essentially allow what supporters say will be a fair and equitable distribution of the costs for fire and EMS services for all city and county residents. Supporters say the measure will improve fire and EMS services for both city and county residents. City residents will get a tax reduction, while county residents will gain improved fire and EMS services through increased funding. Currently, the city has the responsibility to provide fire and EMS services, and this vote, if approved, will shift that cost to the hospital district, but the city will continue to manage the fire and EMS services. Learn more at TINYURL.com/23XE3JSS. How to fix the Secret Service. The point, a review of the Trump assassination attempt, calls for big changes. A report issued recently on the assassination attempt against Donald Trump this summer in Butler, Pennsylvania, comes to an alarming conclusion about the Secret Service's shortcomings. In the absence of fundamental reform, it says, another Butler can and will happen again. Will that sobering assessment help to prompt real changes and fast? The 52-page report was written by a bipartisan panel appointed under the Department of Homeland Security. This inquiry into the Butler shooting included 58 interviews and 7,000 documents. It goes through, in detail, the failures on the ground. The roof from which the gunman fired had been deemed part of the outer perimeter, traditionally staffed by state and local police, not the Secret Service. Communication between these agencies was a muddle. About 20 minutes before Mr. Trump took the stage, Secret Service personnel were made aware of a suspicious person who had been using a range finder, and police were trying to locate him for questioning. The leadership of the Trump detail, those who were in closest proximity to him and tasked with managing his personal movements, were never informed, the panel says. The report also makes broader criticism of the Secret Service's culture, including a pattern of undertraining, an attitude of doing more with less, which is inconsistent with its no-fail mission, and an over-reliance on assigning personnel based on categories, former candidate nominee, instead of individual risk assessments, and a lack of auditing and continuous improvement mechanisms. The panel says new money would help, but an influx of funds without more will not address the problems. It has recommendations for better communications and planning, while suggesting new leadership recruited from outside the agency. The report also argues that the Secret Service should shed responsibility for investigating financial crimes so it can be hyper-focused on its most vital task. There is simply no excuse to need to do more with less concerning protection of national leaders, the panel says. Unless and until those responsibilities are fulfilled, no resources, funds, or time should be allocated to other missions that are not centrally related to the protection function. After Butler, that's an idea that should be taken seriously. Obituaries. Teresa Gail Froelich, age, passed away on October the 26th in Andrews, Texas. A visitation will be held on Wednesday, October the 30th, from 5 to 8 p.m. at McNett Funeral Home in Andrews, Texas. A memorial service for Teresa will be on Saturday, November the 2nd at 1 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Andrews, Texas. Arrangements are entrusted to the personal care of McNett Funeral Home. Donald Edward Morgan, age 77, of Odessa, died Thursday, October the 24th in Odessa. Funeral service will be held at 1 p.m. on November the 2nd at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home.
Community Rewards registration closes Thursday. Citibank's Community Rewards program is giving away $60,000 to 30 different qualified nonprofits in the Permian Basin area. Registration for the program closes at 5 p.m. October 31st. Nonprofit organizations interested in participating may register at citi.bank/community rewards. Organizations can register in one of six categories: basic human needs, health and wellness, youth development and advocacy, education and youth services, community contribution and leadership, and animal welfare and environment. Permian Basin residents determine the 30 recipients by voting for their favorite charities. Rewards go to the top five recipients in each category. First place receives $4,000. Second place gets $2,000. Third place garners $1,500. Fourth place lands $1,000. And fifth place gets $500. The top overall vote getter will receive an additional $3,000. Voting begins Monday, November 4th and continues through Friday, December 6th. Rules state one vote per email address per hour. Voters must be 18 years or older. Winners will be announced the second week of December. The program will launch in the Permian Basin in 2020 and has awarded $240,000 to more than 60 charitable organizations. In addition, the campaign has helped increase the awareness and public support of these organizations and their missions. Man arrested in connection with shooting. An 18-year-old Robert Lee resident was arrested on an aggravated assault warrant Saturday that was issued 2 weeks ago following a shooting on West University Boulevard. According to an Ector County Sheriff's Office report, deputies learned someone was shot in the 9800 block of West University around 9:30 p.m. October 12th. When they arrived, they spoke with a 31-year-old man who told them he got into an argument with a stranger over a cigarette in the alley behind the Kent Quick and he got shot. Deputies found a wallet with identification inside belonging to Dalton James Graves in the alley, and the man who had been shot picked Graves out of a photo lineup after going through emergency surgery, according to the report. Deputies obtained an aggravated assault with a deadly weapon warrant for Graves, and he was booked into the Ector County Jail on the warrant Saturday. He was then released after posting a $35,000 surety bond. Flagpole Dedication Ceremony. To start Military Family Month in November, the Odessa Family YMCA is inviting the public to a plaque dedication ceremony for the new flagpole that was constructed mid-September. Through the generosity of funds raised by veteran and YMCA member John Curry, the YMCA is excited to dedicate and celebrate the construction of their new flagpole. Guest speakers at the event include Rick Matthews from the VFW, Tony Morgan from the American Legion, Gary Collette from AMVETS, the VFW Color Guard, and Odessa Family YMCA CEO Chrissy Medina. The event will take place at 10 a.m. Friday, November 1st at the YMCA Central Location, which is located at 3001 East University Boulevard. The Odessa Family YMCA is a strong supporter of our military family and friends. We are honored to dedicate this flagpole to our proud veterans and their organizations that made this possible. We are blessed that their contributions have given us the ability to have the United States and Texas flags to fly high at the YMCA Central Location again, a news release said. Stabbing suspect held on assault charge. An Odessa man was arrested Friday after being accused of stabbing another man at an apartment complex on Harless Avenue. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a disturbance call from the 1300 block of Harless, and when they arrived, they learned a man had been rushed to a local hospital after being stabbed severely. Witnesses stated the man with a knife was seen going into a specific unit following the stabbing, and when officers went to that apartment, they detained Yasmani Castaneda Carnett after his wife let them inside, the report stated. Officers noticed Carnett had a cut on his arm consistent with a fight, and they also found a bloody knife, the report stated. Carnett was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon and booked into the Ector County Jail. He's being held on an Immigration and Customs Enforcement hold and a surety bond of $25,000.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the oil report of the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, October 26th. AI helps energy firms track methane emissions. The story was written by Millen McEwen, oil editor. Generative artificial intelligence is finding its way into helping energy companies detect and measure methane emissions. The Permian Basin section of the Society of Petroleum Engineers recently hosted a demonstration of generative AI spatial analytics in the Delaware Basin. It was performed by Bill Barna, a principal cloud architect with Google Cloud in Dallas. Barna based the demonstration on a Carto web-based map with an embedded Gemini prompt using public data from the state of New Mexico for leases, assets, incidents, released, and production stored in BigQuery. BigQuery is Google's geospatial data warehouse. Methane plumes from NASA and Jet Propulsion Laboratory's Averis-NG program are included in the database. His queries range from detailing the leases owned by a specific operator to leases owned by that operator within a certain distance to a town to identifying plumes within a certain distance of a town. Barna explained New Mexico was used in the demonstration because of the quality of the data from various sources, including state agencies. Barna told attendees the Gemini prompt has the ability to perform spatial queries against a large, diverse data set using natural language. The output of spatial data can then be drawn as a feature on a map with accompanying analytics. Quote, "It's not limited to methane," Barna said. "It can be used for any geospatial query," end quote. The oil and gas industry has been demonized for its methane emissions, but there are other industrial sources, he said, citing landfills and agriculture as two. Google is probably very early in using generative AI in the geospatial arena, but, quote, "I think it will be very common within a year," Barna said.
And a letter to Dear Abby says, "I became a grandmother 20 years ago. My first grandchild was biracial, and I suspect that's the reason my best friend, Dory, never acknowledged her. When I sent her photos by mail a few times, they went unacknowledged. Now, 20 years later, Dory has finally become a grandmother through adoption. Although I am happy for her, it stings that my four grandchildren were ignored. I have sent generous baby gifts. How do I move past my resentment without making a fuss? I don't want my grandchildren to ever meet her, as I feel any interest would be idle curiosity and not sincere. Dory has never even asked me their names." Dear Abby responds, Why do you refer to this woman as a best friend? From what you have written, Dory stopped being your friend 20 years ago. You were thoughtful to have sent her grandchild generous gifts, or any gift at all. As I see it, there is more than one way to deal with this situation. The first would be to air your feelings to Dory. The second is to continue living your life without her in a starring role. And you can write to Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.